Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
They've got the draft analysis that you've never seen before.
Yeah. The power to top the table and even up the score.
Take us down. Welcome to Saturday Draft Live. Yes, this is Saturday Draft Live, episode number 98. I am your host today, Scott McLeod, and joining me is a man who never let me host when it was just me and him doing the show together. He is the Jezebel that is trying to come between me and Grant McRobbie on East Meets West, and is anxiously awaiting the new Hawkeye series starring Stephen Amell. It is David Campbell.
Please do not think of me as the Yoko Ono of East Meets West. Think of me as the George Harrison of East Meets West. You guys will always be John and Paul, but everyone knows that I am the talented, attractive guitarist behind that merry group. And that's all I'm going to say on it, Scott. I'll get my invite eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, keep playing. I'm sure it's in the post someday. But we're here to bring you all the great draft analysis that you're used to. And we go into the top three of the week, and we have a bit of a tie for third and second tier. We have two AEW players, both at 8 points apiece after last night's Rampage Grand Slam. We have CM Punk on Grant McRobbie's team, and we have Adam Cole Bay. And both doing very well, both big wins on last night's Rampage. It's a subject we're going to go into later on, how the AEW picks have been performed. But David, you know, me and David Talkney were saying the other week about weren't sure if Brian, Cole, or Punk, who was really going to be the best performer overall this season with a new, East AEW. Looking at the Easter, who do you think out of those three could potentially, gain the most wins? Because you had Brian in a featured spot on Dynamite, but he's nowhere in the top three.
Yeah, I think it's, Brian got a draw, which we rarely see in the draft, and it doesn't get you those winner's points, but it doesn't lose you points, so somewhere in the middle. I think when you look at Cole and Punk, there was a lot of discussion pre-season about whether Punk would be a good first-round pick, but 8 points this week takes him to 32 overall. He's third for the season. He's proved a masterstroke from Grant McRobbie at this point. I don't know how long it will continue. Obviously, a match against Powerhouse Hobbs on TV is a good pickup, especially when we heard early doors that he was mostly going to be wrestling in pay-per-view matches. That being said, I think that Adam Cole will prove to be the steal of the season going forward. I think considering the round that Cole was drafted in, the risk factor that came with drafting Adam Cole, and the fact that I think when all is said and done, Adam Cole will wrestle more matches this season than CM Punk will, and it's unlikely that they're going to have him lose or take a pin early doors. So to answer your question, Scott, I think Adam Cole by the end of the season will be the one to rise above Punk, but we'll just have to wait and see how things shape out in the end.
He's got with Punk, he's got probably, he's more than likely going to be a Full Gear wrestling match, probably as part of this whole Team Taz feud, however long that continues on. I do think he will continue to be highly valued in the seasons going forward as a first, maybe second round pick, although I don't think every season it will pay off as well as it has for Grant so far. Whereas Adam Cole, I agree with you, because his next match has already been announced. He's on next week's Dynamite with Jungle Boy. So I think given he's so new and now he's part of the Elite and they want to keep the Elite fairly strong, now the addition of Cole, then yeah, he's going to prove to be a highly valuable player this season. But this week, a surprise, I think, number one, somebody I don't think we see in the top three that often. She got picked quite a bit, in previous seasons. I don't know if she was really picked when she donned her new superhero persona last season, but she's a superhero, but she's now number one in the top three with 10 points. It is Nikki. Someone's incorrectly put this as Nikki Cross. It is Nikki A.S.H.
Thank you, Ben. Who saw this one coming, Scott? Like, honestly, who saw this one coming? I think Nikki A.S.H. has shocked everybody by getting this tag team title win, and the fact that then she cost me more points when she went over to SmackDown last night and beat Natalya. Steve, you look at the history of the women's tag team titles in the draft, and it's been a sort of mixed bag. But I go back to that season, the Goat Tones one with Nia and Shayna, and even the season before, Nia and Shayna were top performing picks for me. When you get a women's tag team title reign where they go across two brands and they're protected well, it can prove very, very good for your draft points. She got 10 points this week, takes her to 20 overall for the season. And if you actually look at Nikki Cross's like historical record in the draft, the most points that she has ever got was 35 points when she was picked in season 2. So she's actually well on her way to topping what was her best ever draft season performance way back in day. At this early stage, I think Steven is salivating at the thought that he's going to get Nikki Cross across both brands when, let's be honest, I don't think that Steven saw her as a pick that was going to draw a lot for his team. I think he saw her as a sort of anchor for the team, a sort of bottom feeder who might get him a couple of things if he was lucky. But to be honest, like with Steven, for a pick that not many of us saw as being fruitful, it's proved very, very good for him so far.
Yeah, it has, and it might continue. It looks like they're going to continue. They've still got Shotzi and Tegan in the background. Beat Natalya and Tamina three times and get a title shot. Nikki and Rhea beat them once, they get a title shot. It's just unfair. But, it is amazing up and down the women's tag titles can be. And that's how I was kind of hesitant before I ended up with the tag team I've got. I was hesitant about picking another women's tag team because I had two last season with mixed success.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And this is the risk you take with the WWE women's division, not even the women's tag division, the women's division as a whole. It's hard to tell who's going to get points and where. Because, for example, look at my team. I have Natalya. She's been on TV quite a lot. But because she's lost basically every time she's been on telly, she's only picked up 1 point this season. Which must be a record for least amount of points with most appearances. It's actually outstanding. So fair play to Steven. It'll probably continue. It might be a thing that when all is said and done, we could be looking at and saying that's the thing that maybe won Steven Wilson his third title. But objectively and subjectively, I hope that is not the case.
And you got to think that's worse, someone appearing but not getting any points. It's worse than because some people have got picks who haven't shown up so far this season, and we've had that before where you get a point, you get somebody who scores you 0 points. You got Graham McRobbie who got Dakota Kai still on fat zero for the season, as is The Miz for Stacey, and Steven's still got Adam Page on his team that's still a potential make a big return this season. It could happen. So
I think he was hoping it would happen this week with the Grand Slam shows going on in AEW. I think that's what he was sort of banking on, but the big one for me, Scott, and I think we need to have a chat with Stephen, because surely Dancing with the Stars is a televised television show. Like, surely Stacey should be getting mega points for Miss this season.
That's a whole other discussion we need to be having. But for now, we'll be discussing the top 15. I almost said top 10 as it before that, but no, this is the top 15 this season here. And we look, speaking of Stacey, you know, without those Miss points, she does retain her spot in last place on 33 points with Nikki Barden-Bellas. Ryan Gallagher with 38 points, just ahead of her. Northmen, Southmen, Comrades all. Go hard or go home. Unfortunately, JP hasn't gone home yet. He's still in.
He's not going hard either.
It's a discussion between him and his lady friend, or whoever. 39 points. In 12th place, Jack Graham and the Two Hit Wonders. Daniel Campbell to the head of him on 42 points. Pretty fly for a Paul Heyman guy. Ryan Gallagher, Ryan Dalglish up next with 45 points. Hire me, Stephen. You don't get paid for this, you can't really be hired. A bit of a jump with Team Viscera. Gary, often a favourite of yours and a favourite of some of ours here on Saturday Draft Live, but a bit, lot lower than you'd expect him to be, you know, given his past, you know, success in the draft. Graham McGrobby, a lot of thanks to CM Punk, is ahead of him on 55 points, the second City Saints. In seventh, we have Alan McLucas with the Montel Vontavious Porters on 62 points.
I love that.
1 point ahead of him is David Hockney with 63 points, the West End Country Club. And then we get into the top five, where we have tied for, with 68 points as Team Goat yourself and Team, a word that Sarah says far too often over the last few years in the podcast. Then we jump up to number three, 75.5 points average, Samoa Joe's with Stephen Wilson. As we said, all of that has to be down to Mickey Cross's stellar performance this week. And then we have Glamorous Indie Rock and Roll on 80 points, with my brother Ross in second place. But number one, and honestly I could brag, but legit, I don't know how I'm doing so well. I legit don't know how this has happened. On 85 points, Isaac Draftum, my team, helped by the fact that John Moxley won on Rampage last night in the Lights Out match. Mm. But although if he lost, I would have said it shouldn't count as a loss. It's not a sanctioned match, but he won, so I'm counting it. Well, and it would have helped if Liv Morgan had won last night on SmackDown, but you know, she still got that Extreme Rules match. The match rules against Carmella.
I think, and I said this in the chat, if you win this season, it's the most impressive draft win ever, and you would be worthy of being the first ever three-time winner of the draft, because you drafted 14th out of 15 people, mate. Like, and you still, the big one was Miro. People slept in Miro, but you got him the transfer window last season. You saw how good he could be. But see, if you look at the strength of the rest of your team, Moxley's on a roll. You've got Baker stable, like, all in there every time they appear. And then you've just, the thing with the draft is you need to hit the sweet spot of the moment. And you've got Kaylee Ray, who they're building up for title contention, and Liv Morgan, who's getting a program right now in a pay-per-view match. Like, I do think the odds are stacked against you in the sense that there are other teams who right now are maybe underperforming and could make a surge. I'd maybe include myself in that, because my big hitters are not really performing the way I'd like them to be right now. Having said that, if Miro keeps up, if Moxley keeps up, if everything keeps like firing in all cylinders for you, I think we could be looking at a very special win in this, the 10th season of the draft for you, Mr. Scott McLeod.
Yes, the thing with this, I'm looking in a season that has two AEW pay-per-views, have an AEW heavy team. So I'm expecting, like, run a bit between Extreme Rules and Crown Jewel, a bit of a lull for my team. Maybe I'll drop down a couple of places and then make my way back up when Full Gear comes around. And then that's like, I think, 7th or the 13th of November, then a couple of weeks later, Survivor Series. So I just need to hope I do strong enough at Full Gear that I can just hold my spot for a couple more weeks. But, you know, that's all, not always that easy. But, yeah, for 14th, I don't know how I'm doing this well. I think I got lucky with the W picks I got. I mean, getting Miro, I'm slightly nervous about the match with Sammy Guevara, but I'm not too nervous that I'm not going to take the captaincy like often. I'm going to keep the captaincy on Miro. I do have some faith in the Redeemer. next week. Rebel was somebody I was unsure of when I picked her in the last round. Like you said, she appears all the time with Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. And like, because my other choice was going to be Roderick Strong, who won the Cruiserweight title this past week. Mm. But then I looked at the points here. Roderick Strong is on 10 points now in the season. Kaylee Ray, my other NXT pick, is on 8 points, and Rebel's currently on 6 points right now. So not that much of a difference if I'd picked Roderick Strong.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think, to be honest, I think you've made the right calls at the right time. We'll just need to see how it goes from there. But Scott, like, the people have been waiting for something in this episode. So would you mind if I was to break down everyone's favourite part of the show and break down the top 5 of the Listeners League, if that's okay?
I would not feel right filling in these shoes, so you go right in.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's our favourite time of the Bastard Week. It's the Listeners League, and here are your top 5. We've got Jamie the Hickey Hickman with a mark in his neck, but making a mark in the table. He's in 5th place with the Hollywood Dreams. A Hollywood dream would be to make it to the draft itself, because as everyone knows, the Losers League is for losers. And Jamie Hickman is 5th in that particular table. Michael Cloffier, his team name is Craig's and Ass. Now, an inside joke in the Listeners League must be what it's like to go inside Stephen Wilson's asshole. It's not a place I want to be. It's not a thing I want to understand, and I don't really care who the fuck Craig is. Tom Brock with Hamesickness is 97 points. Tom has never been a member of ESSR, but for some reason he keeps getting mentioned on our airwaves. I hope he doesn't win so that trend doesn't continue and we have to invite him to Saturday Draft Live. Tom Brock, if you're listening, which I know you are because you're obsessed with me, it's a pleasure to play into you once again. Dan Axel Jameson with the CM Drunks. Quite a good team name, but we don't condone alcohol abuse here at Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet. Please seek help. Axel being his middle name should tell you all you need to know. Curtis Axel, Michael Bigliolicotti, both shit, still the same person with different names. Maybe he will carry on that legacy of shitness in the Listeners League. And then in first place we have Matt Smith, former Doctor Who, with the booty woes, following on from the news this week that Russell T Davies will be coming back to the helm, means more of the same, and more of the same that we've seen in years past. The Listeners League is the same thing. It's more of the same. It's the same old shit every week, and no one really cares about it. So back to you in the studio, Scott McLeod.
Well, thank you very much, David. Riveting, as always. We go on to something I wanted to talk about this week. I wanted to talk, you know, given how I somehow managed to maintain like the top one, or at least stay in the top three as I have the last few seasons. I think a lot of that has to do with the performance of my AEW picks and how hot AEW seems to be right now with Dynamite and Rampage.
Mm.
As I said before, this is a season that has 2 AEW pay-per-views in there, one that really kicks off the season and one really close to the end, right before the Survivor Series, and I think it's reflected in the draft itself, because you know 39% of the points, you know, drafted this season have come from AEW picks, so more AEW picks than Raw, SmackDown, or NXT this particular season. So I think a lot of other people have seen the value of AEW this season. Also, Miro is the top performing AEW pick right now, with CM Punk being in second. But do you think it's as simple as that? You know, the fact that there's 2 AEW, you know, pay-per-views, the scenes why people have went back to AEW this season kind of that well more than an NXT as they might have had in the past? Or do you think, and who do you think right now, other than the likes of Miro or Punk that we've mentioned, do you think right now is the standout, you know, draft picks?
Go into the reason for it. I think the pay-per-view thing is a big reason, because you have to balance it out. We're still waiting on WWE pay-per-views really having an impact this season, while AEW have already had that chance. So obviously that's going to skew the numbers a wee bit in the figures. But I think it also goes down to, we've got to go back to the history of Saturday Draft Live, Scott, because we sat in this show years ago, when this is still in the Patreon, saying that AEW picks might not be the best idea because the booking of the company can still sometimes be a bit nonsensical. The AEW product has got better as this draft has progressed over the seasons, we're now in season 10, and we're talking about AEW as being definitively one of the greatest wrestling products currently in the planet, and we're talking about AEW that doesn't have those problems that it did in the early seasons. Booking is more consistent. Stories are being told. They now have Dynamite and Rampage where your big hitters are going on. So, of course, your big main event players are going to perform a bit better. Where the failure of AEW comes in the draft is when you're picking people who might not necessarily appear a lot in these bigger shows. You look at the likes of Red Velvet only picking up 1 point, 2.0 only picking up 4 points, Jade Cargill only picking up 6. If you go for the big hitters with AEW, you will be rewarded. However, if you go for the bottom feeders with any dark being now ruled out of the draft, you're not going to get the reward for that. Outside of the obvious contenders, I think Gary has been a big Excalibur fan. That's obviously an easy answer because it's going to be consistent points. But I think the other ones you've got to look out for, Scott, you've got to look at Sammy Guevara. Now, going into this season, I wasn't sure how good a pick that would be, but now he has a TNT title match, and even if he loses to Miro, I've got the feeling that won't be the end of the story. He's a young, up-and-coming talent who they're clearly behind, and I think it is someone who will pay off in terms of points at some point in the season and climb a bit further up than he currently is. The other one that I find very interesting is Andrade El Idolo, because I don't think we've really seen him kick into his full potential in AEW just yet. I know that he wants to play around with some other companies. He's recently cut ties with Chavo Guerrero because Chavo is going off to be the wrestling consultant on a television show, I believe. I forget the show that he's particularly going on to help with that. But it shows that... The Stephen Amell one.
No, Young Rock, the one about
Rock. Right, the Dwayne one. Right, okay, that's fair. That's fair. Well, that shows you what the point I would make would be the fact that they didn't want to take both Andrade and Chavo off TV, and it was just like, right, we need to get Chavo written out this story, shows that there's a lot more to play in with Andrade El Idolo in the not-too-distant future in AEW. They've clearly got stories planned, so I'd say those were the picks that we'd need to look out for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about the influx of non-wrestling commentator picks this season. Mm. I think, given the feud that Punk's in right now, Jack may have made a smart choice with Taz. Yeah. Taz will be commentary, and then he'll be probably doing promo segments with the other members of Team Taz, or at least company like Lisa Hobbs or Ricky Starks to the ring for their matches. So I think appearance-wise, Taz actually might be a lot more valuable than we may have given credit for. Orange Cassidy, I think every season he seems to be on the cusp of being one of the top, you know, scorers. He's in the top six of the AEW wrestlers, you know, below the likes of John Moxley and Punk, that people like that. But also, like in the past, when we look at the tag teams, AEW's had a well of like great tag teams to pick from. And in the past, the Young Bucks were a high scoring team, but I think this season the Lucha Brothers are going to take that spot with 100%. The out. They beat Butcher and Blade on Rampage. They were in a big 8-man tag match last night. So I think those guys aren't going to drop the tag titles anytime soon. So I think this season, Sarah's going to do very well with the Lucha Brothers. I think she should even consider putting the captaincy on them. I can't remember who Sarah's current captain is right now, but if it's not Lucha Brothers, I think it should be.
Yeah, I would say so. I think her captaincy is probably on Christian. But in fact, no, our captain's Malakai Black. Tell a lie.
To be fair, actually, 1 point ahead of the Lucha Brothers on the overall kind of standing for AEW. They're on 21, he's on 22 points, and he is doing well now, so I can't actually argue with that right now. And the fact he managed to kill the spirit of America with it when he beat Cody Rhodes.
100%.
The genie method of the mist in the face. You and I talked about in the past about, you know, NXT and you know, the releases and how that would affect people picking NXT picks, and that has gone down the amount of people who have chosen NXT picks. But also, do you think that the whole NXT 2.0 is also going to play a factor, and do you think that will continue to play a factor? You know, as we see how NXT 2.0 develops over this season, do you think when people come in next season, do you think they'll be more willing to pick some of the newer faces, or do you think they'll they'll be more inclined to go somewhere like AEW or even the main roster.
No, I think there'll be an influx of new talent into the draft next season. I think that people are going to be looking at, I think Ciampa, his stock has risen. No one picked Ciampa this season. No one took a chance on Tommaso Ciampa, and he would have got 18 points without the captaincy on him if someone had taken that swing. But you've got to look at the likes of Braun Breaker coming in, making an impact as soon as he debuts on the main roster. You've got to look at new additions to Legado del Fantasma as well, adding women to their ranks. You look at even B-Fab at the other side of the coin, at Hit Row. The members of Hit Row are in a prominent position in AEW and NXT every week. So I do think that with NXT 2.0, it was the right season for people to take a step back with NXT so they can see how things are going to develop and who are going to be the stars of that brand going forward. Because I think if people were to have jumped in too soon with, oh, maybe I'll go for Odyssey Jones or maybe I'll go for someone like this, it might not have paid off. It was too much of a risk factor. But now that people are starting to get a lay of the land of this new NXT, next season will be the time to get some of those draft picks in.
Mm-hmm. Because right now with NXT, the top performing pick is Johnny Gargano, who seems to be also Mr. NXT. Like you said, I think like Samoa Joe would have been one of the top picks to go in, for NXT going into the season. I believe he was around one pick, and then unfortunately he had to vacate the championship. So
one point. You know what I mean? Only 1 point.
The one person more than him, and that's Dakota Kai on a big fat zero.
Yeah.
And you know, you got the likes of Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis kind of propping up, and not by much, you know, overall so far with NXT. And you got to think, I don't think they've even announced if there's going to be a takeover at some point. You got to think October, November time, there'll be a takeover coming. You know, my whole thing with Kaylee Ray was present on her being are being the new like NXT Women's Champion at some point. But you know, when Raquel Gonzalez gets taken off TV randomly, they'll report she could fight Frankie Monet with no motivation, or sorry, with no reason as to why or explanation. So I'm worried that might have slowed down Kayla Ray's ascent to the title for me.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what next season is like, as you said. And if you don't put the captaincy on Braun Breaker, you're just a damn coward.
100%. I want a big team of big guys next season. I'm going to get Braun Breaker. I'm going to finally pull the trigger on Wardlow. Oh, you can't wait to see my team next season, Scott. It's going to be incredible.
Got that Brooks Jensen, the son of Big Barry Bull Buchanan. Get him in there.
Oh God, Bull Buchanan, mate. Don't even start me. What a performer. B squared.
Hayes is on 4 points. He could, you know, be a breaker NXT to Bono. Now he's got this big. He's got his hit bodyguard now, and he's got that contract for a title opportunity of any title he wants. And after winning the breakout tournament, we said that could be a make or break performer for Ross. You know, somebody who nobody was really thinking about. But you know, if he manages to somehow win a championship, then do have the last breakout winner didn't win his title opportunity. But you never know what could happen.
And
as you said, David, we've not really seen the impact of a WWE pay-per-view this season yet, but we will have one this Sunday with Extreme Rules, and me and Jack will be on next week to talk about all the fallout. But it's interesting that we won't have, you know, any impact from Big E, who's at the number one overall this season, the WWE champion. He's not advertised. Roman's part of a tag team yet again, so he's not going to get the same points from it. So I think you can see the usual suspects, your likes of your Becky Lynch's or potentially Charlotte Flair, so those will be the kind of top players that we'll be talking about next week. But you know, we're just going to have to wait and actually see the show to find out.
Yeah, 100%. I'm hoping that the Usos managed to get a big title defense there. Sonya will have her pay-per-view appearances for me as well, so I'm hoping that this is the time, because you've talked about having an AEW heavy team, I'm hoping that this is the time I can claim some points back with a title defense and appearances from Sonya. But the problem with it is that we've got people, like you say, Dave's got Charlotte Flair. He's now touching the top of that table there. He's really getting himself in the zone. Stacey could pull herself up with Bianca points, and Ryan Dugleesh as well. The thankful thing is that it's really only the people who can get the big points this weekend are myself, Dave, and Sarah. Stephen has Damian Priest as well, so it'll be interesting to see how all this shapes up with title defences, title points this Sunday, Extreme Rules. I can't wait to see how that's going to play off.
But yeah, we still look forward to seeing some WWE names kind of climbing up the top of ranks of the season. And hopefully Miro's still up there as well after a fingers crossed, successful TNT title defense against Sammy Guevara, God's favorite champion, redeems the so-called Spanish God. But that is all the time we have for this episode. Well, thank you for listening to Saturday Draft Live. Remember, this is episode 98, episode 100 is coming very soon. And if you're somewhere behind on the last 98, 97 episodes, you can go under our back catalogue at Suplex Retreat or all good Android podcast sites, whether that be Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Go check us out as well. Check out past episodes of Central with my brother Ross hosting with guests such as David Campbell, Sexy John Isherwood, and many others.
Mm. Oh, Sexy John. You got to love Sexy John Isherwood. I think that ESSR would be a better place if, you know, Stephen would just bite the bullet, hire John Isherwood, appoint him chairman, and then we'd all be fine. We'd all be fine.
That's where I can see him, David. Also, we got our weekly feature shows every Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, you've got a feature show hosted by Graham McRobey, all about the history of the Bullet Club. David Campbell is sad he couldn't be on the show. And we also got all our YouTube content this Sunday, 7 p.m. British time. Quiz Showdown 14, something to do with TV. I don't know what the official title is, but it's a television quiz. I, the Quiz Showdown champion, I'm hoping to walk in there like Roman Reigns and stack up a bunch of fools and proclaim my dominance as Quiz Showdown champion. And you've got past Book It episodes where I proved dominance over Jack Graham by trencing him in the Book It competition. With, you know, as I think we agreed, Daniel Campbell may be a bit too lenient. We know who the clear winner of that match was.
Yeah, 100%. I love Jack. Great guy. But yeah, you trounced him, to be fair.
And keep up with all the shows, all the YouTube content, everything else we've got going on at Suplex Retreat on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or Facebook community page, where you can get involved and get Campbell's question every week, and your answer will be read out on ASSR Central. All sorts of stuff to be excited about, but I want to thank David Campbell for, you know, joining me again for Sad Draft Live and letting me host this time around.
Yes, it was a great experience. It was fun. It was liberating, and I hope you at home got something out of it as well. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and have your morning whack. We'll see you soon.
しつづけるの限りなく切ない明日の
Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.